Going to begin in Matthew chapter 8. We had looked last week at Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. And we want to look this morning at what took place right after that in the city of Capernaum. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 16, and we're just going to start here. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16, it says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Matthew writes of this account, and Matthew brings out the fact that what took place in this 24-hour period of time in Capernaum was a fulfillment of the scriptures, the prophet Isaiah. You know, there are many men today that are great theologians and have a great knowledge and great wisdom of all things pertaining to the scriptures. I don't claim to be one of them. I don't claim to be a great theologian. The more I open up my Bible, the more I realize how much I need to know and learn and grow. But I do know this, as Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." And Matthew writes from the perspective of showing and declaring that what Jesus Christ did was a fulfillment of Scripture. It was biblical. If we turn over to the Gospel of Mark and we read of the same account in the Gospel of Mark, we see a different perspective. Here we see the perspective of Mark as he brings forth the power of Christ. Not only that Jesus Christ fulfilled all scriptures and all prophecy, but in the Gospel of Mark, Mark wants to show the power of Christ. In the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, chapter 1 and verse number 32. "And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." Mark brings forth the same account, but from the perspective of just bringing forth the unlimited, unmatchless power of Jesus Christ. That as the whole city came out, the whole city's gathered at the door of Peter's house. They brought him all that were diseased, all that were possessed with devils. Verse 34, he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, cast out many devils. And Mark brings out the power of Christ, that his power is unlimited, that with God nothing is impossible. And oh, how I long to see the power of God manifested in our church. Don't you long to see, doesn't your heart just crave to see the power of God come down upon us and move in a way that we have never seen? Where victory is gained over things that have just troubled for years and years and years and years. But I know this, as Paul would write in Ephesians in chapter 3, as Paul would pray for the church at Ephesus, Paul would say, "Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end." And I know that Jesus Christ is able. I know that there's nothing too hard for God. And oh, that we would long to see the mighty power of the Spirit of God move in our midst like we've never seen in a biblical way, in a real way, in a practical way. And Mark speaks of the same moment in time, the same 24 hours, same account that takes place, but he brings it forth from the perspective of seeing and knowing the power of Jesus Christ. But this morning, I want to bring your attention over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. And we want to look at the same account from the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Because if there's one thing as your pastor I would have you to see in the Scriptures, if there's one thing I would have you to hear by the Spirit of God this morning, the one thing I would have you to know this morning is the compassionate Christ. The compassionate Christ. And in Luke chapter 4, that's what we see in verse number 40, same account. Same thing, but different perspective. Bible says in verse 40, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." You know, we read in Matthew chapter 8 the same account, and in the next chapter, in chapter 9, it speaks of Jesus Christ. And speaks of Jesus Christ. He's with the disciples. And in Matthew chapter 9, it tells us that when he looked upon the multitude, he was moved with compassion toward them. And he said, "They're sheep without a shepherd." Paul would write, as Paul would write his testimony of his saving faith in Jesus Christ, Paul would write in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul would write in Galatians chapter 2 and say, "He loved me and gave himself for me." He would write to Timothy, and as he wrote to a young preacher, a young pastor, he would write to Timothy, say, "Timothy, the end of the commandment is love. Charity. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." And if there's one thing that your pastor would have you know this morning and learn and be assured of, is the compassionate Christ that's seen in the Scripture. But not that you would see it in the Scripture, but that you would see it in the reality of your life and know and be assured of the compassion of Jesus Christ. That as Paul writes, "Since he's loved me," that you would know he loves you, cares for you more than anybody else in the world will ever care for you. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And in Luke chapter 4, I want us to see the compassionate miracle of Christ this morning, the compassionate miracle of Christ. For in Luke chapter 4, there's something that we see there that we don't see in all the other Scriptures. And so let's begin this morning by asking God to move in our midst and have his way in our hearts and lives as we open up the Word of God. Dear gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you with tender hearts this morning. Lord, we desire to know Thee more. As Paul writes, that I might know Him. That I may know Him. And Lord, our prayer this morning is that Your Holy Spirit, through the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, would reach down to the depths of every one of our hearts, each one here this morning, that we might know our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might know the chief shepherd of our soul, and we might know the compassion of Christ toward us this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd move in our midst this morning, and we'll be careful to give You all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, it says, "Now when the sun was setting," I want to take us back this morning as we begin to just consider and think about what took place in this 24-hour period that would bring us to verse number 40 and 41. What took place this evening as the Sabbath was ending and a new day was beginning. You see, 24 hours previously, every Jewish home in Capernaum had lit a candle. Every Jewish home had adorned their house with a beautiful tablecloth and made a setting that was ready for the benediction as the Sabbath approached. And as they prepared for the Sabbath, to every Jewish home, it was as if they were preparing for the queen to arrive. For the Sabbath, the day that God had set apart for them, the children of Israel, to meet with God and God to meet with them, was considered the queen of the week. And they would prepare and they would get ready. And they would prepare to be ready for the Sabbath. And 24 hours previously, the homes were adorned and prepared, and their hearts were set in the direction of the Sabbath. And they would go off to bed that night, they would go off to sleep that night, and they would arise in the morning. And as every home would awaken on that Sabbath day, their thoughts would be about one thing: getting to the synagogue. Getting to the synagogue so that they could meet with God and God could meet with them. And they would prepare and they would get ready, and it said that the synagogue would be filled, because in every Jewish home they knew that they were not going to miss being in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. There was one thing they were not going to miss. There was no excuse to be made. There was no reason not to be there. They were going to be there. And they would hasten with rapid pace to get to the synagogue. They would be punctual because they knew it was the most important moment of the week to meet with God. There would no one would enter in late. There would be no sense of frivolity or casualness about their attendance at the synagogue. They would pause at the doors of the synagogue to prepare their hearts and their minds and their attitude as they would enter in. And then they would enter in through the doors. And their synagogue in Capernaum, as archaeologists have discovered, was about half as big as our auditorium here. If you can picture just taking another half and adding it on to the side. It was a big room about this size, but it was more square. And they would enter in, and families would enter in from the south end. And they would enter in through the doorways, and there they would see seats The synagogue would not be filled with chairs, but there would be seats as they would enter in, and those seats were for the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders and the Sanhedrin that would sit. And then in the center of the synagogue, there was an open space where those that would administrate the service, if you will, would stand in the midst of all the people. And then there were no comfortable chairs around because the people would sit on the floor. They would sit on the ground and they would come in and they would come down the sides and they would just fill the place. And there was a section for the women, a section for the men, and they would gather around. And then the service, the time of their service would begin, and benedictions would be read and prayers would be read and the scripture would be opened and the law would be read. And then more benedictions given, and then the history portion of scripture in the history would be read. And then the prophets would be read. And then whichever religious leader was administrating the service that morning would motion to the one that he had asked to speak. Many times there would be religious leaders, famous religious leaders, well-known religious leaders that were traveling through that would be asked to speak. And they would come to that middle and they would arise and a portion of scripture would be opened and then they would read it and then they would sit down and teach and preach. And this was a unique day because as the people gathered, there was a sense of excitement. Would he be there again? Would Jesus of Nazareth be in our synagogue again? Because the Bible says that when he came to Capernaum, he taught many days, many times in the synagogue on the Sabbaths. You can imagine as the folks gathered, as the synagogue was filled, that they looked around and they said, yes, there's Peter. Disciple of this one, Jesus of Nazareth. And there he is. And then the service progresses. He is asked and motioned to stand and come to the center and to open up the scriptures and to teach. And the Bible says in the Gospel of Mark that when Jesus Christ stood up that day and taught, that when he entered into the synagogue and taught, it says they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. A Jewish theologian named Alfred Edelstein, in his book, The Life and Times of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, spends much time speaking about what it was like and what it was like in those synagogues and what it was like. And it's interesting that he says that the majority of time when someone stood up and spoke, someone that would be brought in to speak, the basic conclusion was this, that they were doing everything to draw attention to themselves as a speaker, to make themselves known. And oh, how unlike that was of the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible says was meek and lowly of heart, who with gracious words did speak. And it's no wonder that it says that they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And then as he spoke that morning, something happened. You see, as Jesus Christ spoke that morning, there was a man there that the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 33, that in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice. And I want you to understand this morning that the very words of Jesus Christ, the very authority of Jesus Christ, the very spoken word of Jesus Christ brought such conviction that this man that had an unclean spirit, the unclean spirit couldn't stand it. And the unclean spirit in verse number 34 all of a sudden spoke and said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And the very voice of Jesus Christ was so powerful and so filled with the authority of the Spirit of God that this demon-controlled man, that the very demon within this man, the very unclean spirit, was so convicted that it just had to cry out and say, "Leave us alone. Know who you are. You're the Holy One. The Holy One of God." And the Bible says in verse 35, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, heard him not. The Bible says in verse 36, they were all amazed. Of course you'd be amazed. And they spake among themselves, saying, "What word is this? For with authority and power, he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." The Bible says the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And the service ended. And as Ida Shine would write, that people didn't hurry away from the synagogue. They rushed to get there, to be in that place. But when they left very quietly, very seriously, and very slowly, as they thought upon what had taken place. And they began to disperse, and they began to speak among themselves. "Did you hear the words and the message of Jesus of Nazareth? Did you see what happened when he spoke? How with such authority that the demons had to flee." And as they all went back to their houses, Jesus would go with Peter and Andrew and James and John, and he would go to Peter's house. Peter's house was about 100 feet from the synagogue. It wasn't that far. It was from there to over the parking lot. Is that far away? Peter's house was it wasn't modest, to say the least. It was a very affluent home, if you will. Peter's house had three big rooms where he would entertain guests, and a courtyard, and it was a very spacious home. And Jesus would go with Peter and James and Andrew and John and probably many others as they left the synagogue and they went this afternoon to have a meal at Peter's house. And then the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4, and this is what we looked at last week, that as they came to Peter's house, that Peter's mother-in-law was sick. She had a fever. Jesus Christ entered into this house, into this home, and he reached down with his hand and he put his hand upon Peter's mother-in-law. The Bible says that he spoke and he rebuked the fever. And immediately the fever left her, and she got up and was able to minister and help prepare the food for the guests that were there. And once again, word began to spread. And word began to spread to the point that we come to verse number 40. "For as that day progressed and as the sun was setting," it was as it was coming to the close of the day. And actually, what it's referring to, it was coming to the to the end of the Sabbath day. And as the sun was setting, something happened in the city of Capernaum. Something happened. It was amazing. Because all of a sudden in the courtyard of Peter's house, and beyond the courtyard, in the street, for his courtyard, as big as his home was, wasn't big enough. In the street, probably all the way up to the synagogue and beyond the synagogue, people began to gather. And people began to come. And the Bible says in verse number 40, when the sun was setting, check this out. All they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. In Mark it says the whole city gathered. I want you to stop and think about that. Imagine this. Just think about this. Capernaum was a small town, small city. 1,200 to 1,500 people. 1,200 to 1,500 people. And the Bible says anybody in that city that had anybody, that had any problem of any kind at all, no matter how small, no matter how great, they all of a sudden, as the sun began to set, they came to Peter's house. You know why? Because all of a sudden there was hope in Capernaum. All of a sudden in homes, families, individuals, there was hope. In fact, if you turn back, and that's my first point, by the way, is that there was hope. But if you turn back to Matthew chapter 4, once again, the Bible tells us not only of the fact that Jesus came to Capernaum, but why he came to Capernaum, what took place in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. And this is what took place as the sun was setting. As darkness is beginning to come upon this city of Capernaum, light had sprung up. Hope had sprung up. And just like the stars appearing in the sky as the sun sets, more than even the brightness of the stars or the moon, hope in their hearts had arisen because of what they had seen and what they had heard. And the story had spread from house to house, from home to home, from person to person, from family to family. There's hope in Capernaum today. There's hope in Capernaum tonight. There's hope in Capernaum because of this one Jesus of Nazareth. There's hope because of his word and the authority of his word. There's hope because of the power of Jesus of Nazareth, that when he stood up and speak, the demons that would control a human being, the power of darkness that would have this man in bondage, could not contain this man would be set free from the power of darkness by the very words, convicting words of Jesus Christ. And in the home of Peter, a woman that was taken with an infirmity, who was laying in bed, that Jesus Christ would reach down with his hand and touch her and she would be healed. There's hope. Because whether the problem is within or the problem is without, light has sprung up because of one person, Jesus of Nazareth, is in our midst. He's in our city. He's in our streets. He's in the home of this one, Peter of Galilee, of Capernaum. And all of a sudden, the people began to come out of their homes. And stop and think about what it was like. Stop and think and consider what it was like as the sun began to set and as Peter would hear a noise and as his disciples would hear a noise and they would look outside their rooms where they're eating a meal and they would look out into the courtyard and they'd look out to the door and they'd look out beyond the door into the streets and the whole city, every person that had a problem in Capernaum was gathered outside the home of Peter because there's hope today. Just think, as you look outside the door, as you look into the street, and as you look up the street, and you look and there's a mom and a dad that have brought their little child that has been sick for so long. And you look over here and there's a man that has stumbled on his crutches down the street because he has no strength in his legs and he's made it down to the door of Peter. And there's a man that is blind and has been led by someone else to get there. And then there's a man that can't hear, but somehow someone has communicated to him that there's hope in Capernaum because Jesus is there. And there's a man that is brought and his family tries to restrain him as the power of darkness and the power of Satan has just controlled his life. And every sickness and every disease and every problem that has tormented the lives and the homes and the city.
Amen.
The street is filled. And the crowd has come. Because light has sprung up. And oh, that Christians would have that same hope. Oh, that we as Christians, right here this morning, would understand that that hope is still there because Jesus Christ is still alive. Troubles my heart this morning to think that while Capernaum rushed to be in the presence of Jesus Christ because they understood there was hope for them. There was hope for them. It didn't matter how long their child had been sick. It didn't matter how great the problem was. It didn't matter how strong the disease was. It didn't matter how troubled their soul was within them. It didn't matter how great the power of darkness was binding their son. They said there's hope. Why is it today that we as Christians live so much of our lives? Life that doesn't show a real demonstration of believing that there's hope. Why is it today that so many Christians live troubled hearts and troubled minds and live in defeat? When Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for you and me, and still lives and has not changed. I tell you what, this morning, folks, there is hope. There is hope. And whatever your struggle is, whatever your challenge is, whatever your situation is, whatever it is you're dealing with in your life, however long it's been, however powerful it's been, however, whatever, I tell you this morning that when you read Luke chapter 4, when you read Matthew chapter 8, and you read Mark chapter 1, and you read Luke chapter 4, and you see in Luke chapter 4 that when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases, they brought them unto him. My prayer this morning is you'd realize there's hope for you. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will tell you based upon the authority of the God's word this morning, that there is hope for you today because of this person, Jesus Christ. And I mean hope beyond salvation. I mean hope of victory in your life. Because these people brought every problem, every disease, every sickness, every torment, everything. It was having victory over them in their lives. They brought it that day to Jesus Christ, and they said, light has sprung up. In the shadow of death, life has sprung up, and there is hope this night in Capernaum because of this one Jesus of Nazareth. You see, there's nothing in your life that's beyond the hope that Jesus Christ brings. And they came. And when they came to Jesus Christ, when they truly came to Jesus Christ, when they came to that home of Peter, and when they stood, whether it was in the courtyard, whether it was in the doorway, or whether it was in the street, or whether it was in the distance, or whether it was a leper that came as the last one and stood apart from everybody else and said, I'm unclean. When they came because of their hope, they found the help that they needed. And they were not disappointed. Not one of them was disappointed. Not one of them. I want you to notice something. You see, what makes this so amazing to me, what makes this so powerful this morning, is the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because let us first begin with understanding what time of day it was. This was not the morning hours. Jesus Christ had not just risen up and gotten ready for the day. This was at the end of the day, folks. This is after Jesus Christ had taught with power in the synagogue. This was after Jesus Christ had expended his virtue, and with the authority of his words, the demon had come out of a man. This is after Jesus Christ had gone home that afternoon to the house of Peter. And after he had gone home to the house of Peter, he had once again extended the power of his touch and healed Peter's mother-in-law. And all of a sudden, as the sun is setting, as it's that time in the day where everybody's thinking, boy, it's the day's ending. It's time to go home and put the feet up and rest. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I want you to notice something. I want you to notice something in Luke chapter 4 this morning. I want you to notice something. That when the sun was setting, all they... all they that had any sick with thy diverse diseases brought them unto him. The whole city gathered. Think about that. A city of 12 to 1500 people. I don't know how many people gathered, but I venture to say it was hundreds of people that gathered in that street that day. Because just like today, what life this morning is untouched by problems? What home this morning is untouched by trouble? More than the synagogue being filled that day, the streets were filled. The sun was setting. It's interesting that Luke put something in there. Luke put something in there that I want you to get. If there's one thing I want you to get this morning, if there's one portion of Scripture I want you to get this morning, if there's one phrase I want you to pay attention to this morning, it's in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 40. And I want you to notice this phrase, and I want you to take this phrase to heart. I want every individual in this room this morning to get this one phrase. This one phrase. This one sentence in the Bible. Because this is the compassionate Christ that you need to know of this morning. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, he laid his hands on every one of them. You stop and realize what that says this morning? There's a home. And outside of that home, a crowd has gathered. A whole city has gathered. And every person that has any problem at all in their life, no matter how great, no matter how long, no matter what it is, they've gathered and the courtyard is filled, the streets are filled, the crowd is amassed. Mark says the whole city has come. And if you look and you see that mass, here's what you need to see. Jesus Christ went and he put his hand on every one of them. Every single one of them. Up and down the rows. Every single one of them. Every person in that place without exception. Everyone. Everyone. Didn't matter who they were. Didn't matter how young. Didn't matter how old. Didn't matter what their problem was. Didn't matter what others thought. Didn't matter how long they had had the problem. Didn't matter how great the problem. Didn't matter whether the problem was physical, whether it was internal, external, whether it was in the mind, whether it was in the spirit, whether it was in a physical infirmity, was it that they tormented by an unclean spirit, was it whether they were controlled by the power of darkness and didn't have victory in their life, Jesus Christ went and he touched every single person in the place. No one was untouched by the hand of Jesus Christ that day. Why? Because Jesus Christ didn't see a multitude. Oh, he saw a multitude. And he looked on that multitude and was filled with compassion. But he saw everyone. Everyone. Listen, folks. This room could be filled twice over. Every seat could be taken in this place this morning. Jesus Christ looks down and he says, I see you. And I see your need. And I see your problem. And I see your disease. And I see your troubled heart. And I see what has been causing you problems for so long. I see what you haven't had victory over. I see what the power of darkness has just bound you with. And this is, he touched every one of them. You know, Matthew, go back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Because Matthew said this, and how important this is. Matthew refers back to Isaiah 53 and verse number 4. That passage of scripture that speaks of the Messiah, the Savior. But Matthew says this in verse chapter 8 and verse number 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. And then it says, why? Why? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You see, when Jesus Christ came, folks, what he was showing them this night in Capernaum is that when Jesus Christ came to this earth and he would go to the cross of Calvary, he would take upon himself, he would take our infirmities, he would bear our sicknesses. Go back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. And verse number 4. Isaiah 53 and verse number 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. This passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew brings it to light that when he came that night to Capernaum, and when he went and he touched every one of them, the Bible says he took from them that which was troubling their life, and he took it upon himself. Folks, that's why there's hope. That's why the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Because when Jesus Christ came and lived upon this earth and went to the cross of Calvary, he took, do you get that? He took your burdens. He took your troubles. He took your sorrows. And he bore them upon himself more than anybody else could ever do. And that's why he's the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ wants to do that today. He wants you to come to him. He wants to take your burden that is weighing you down. And he wants to bear it himself for you. And he went out from that home of Peter in the midst of a sea of people that was hurting, troubled and burdened with sickness and disease and unclean spirits and demons and troubled within and troubled without. and he walked in their midst. And he put his hand on every one of them. Because just like he cared for Peter's mother-in-law, he cares for every one of us today. And they found their help in Jesus Christ. And that night, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine that night? Can you imagine the news the next day as word spread of what took place in Capernaum? In that one night, in that one moment of time, when every person that had any problem at all was set free by the touch of Jesus Christ. And what's interesting is that in Luke chapter 4, it goes on to say this in verse 41. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. They knew he was Christ. You know, you just have to go back to Luke chapter 4. The unclean spirits, the devils knew. They knew the reality was taking place. They knew the reality of the person that stood before them. They knew the reality of the power and the authority of Jesus of Nazareth. They knew he was the Christ. They knew he was the anointed one sent from God. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ had stood up in a synagogue in Nazareth. The book of Isaiah had been opened up, and in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." The devil said, "He is the one sent from God." Jesus Christ had stood up and read Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1 and verse number 2. "He's anointed me. God has sent me. The Holy One of God, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ, he says, I'm sent to this world to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Do you get that this morning? Jesus Christ is here this morning to heal the broken heart. And he's able to do it, and he wants to do it. He says, "God sent me to heal the broken heart. God sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And when he read this, the Bible says he closed the book. He gave it to the minister. He sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is scripture fulfilled in your ears." Then they bear witness of the gracious words. But then they said, "Yeah, but this is Joseph's son." And they turned away and they rejected him. They cast him out. And he comes to Capernaum. And yet the Bible says that the devils knew who he was. That he was the Christ. Jesus says, "I don't want your testimony." But Jesus Christ does want you to know that this morning. Jesus Christ wants you to know what he said in verse number 18. Jesus Christ wants you to know that he's here today to heal your broken heart. And he can. He wants you to know that he can preach deliverance. The Bible's in the book of Colossians. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. My friend, Jesus Christ wants you to know that whatever it is that's been troubling you all these years, whatever it is, might be some addiction. Might be something within. You know, and you know what's been bothering you. You know what's been troubling you all these years. You know deep down in your heart what it is that you haven't had victory over. Jesus Christ wants you to know today, just like those folks in Capernaum know, that he is the Christ. That when he died on that cross and was buried and rose again, he conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered the devil, he conquered in that moment at Calvary through his death, burial, and resurrection, everything. And he wants you to know that he can deliver you from what has had victory in your life all these years and all these times. He wants you to know that he can set you at liberty and set you free and give you peace like you've never had before. And what's amazing is in Luke chapter 4, the devils knew thou art the Christ, the Son of God. But what I find encouraging is this, verse number 42. And when it was day, he departed. He went into a desert. And the people sought him and came unto him, stayed him that he should not depart from him. And I can understand that. I get that. What had taken place this night in Capernaum? What had taken place in this small town of 12 to 1500, what had taken place in the reality of the miraculous working of Jesus Christ, that by his word and with a touch of his hand on every one that had a problem, what had taken place? And surely, no, we don't want him to leave. No, stay. Stay. But I want you to notice something. And here's the beautiful thing about it. Jesus Christ could have very well stayed in that place. He could have stayed for days and weeks and months. He could have continued there. But in verse number 43, he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for thereunto, therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Jesus Christ said, no, there's others in other places that need me just as much as you. And the story could have ended in Capernaum. The story could have ended in Galilee. The story could have ended when the scripture was complete, but the story hasn't ended. Because Jesus Christ wants you to know today that just as he did those miracles in Capernaum, just as he did that miracle and delivered that man in the synagogue, just as he went into the home of Peter and delivered Peter's mother-in-law, just as he looked in that street and went out and touched everyone that had a problem in Capernaum, just as he went to Galilee and he's went to other places, he is still walking down through the cord of time doing the same thing as he did that day, transforming people's lives by His power and His word and by the touch of His hand upon a person's life. Jesus Christ wants to do that today, folks. And He wants to reach down and touch the life of every one of us, so that we will know that what the Scriptures say is true, so that we will know the reality of the transforming power of Christ, the victorious power of Christ in our lives, so that we will know the compassion of Jesus Christ and know the love of Christ, which goes beyond every other love that you ever experienced. And so the sun was setting, and word had spread that there was hope. There was hope in Capernaum because of Jesus of Nazareth. And they came, 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 and they came. And the streets were filled. And Jesus Christ looked upon that multitude. His heart was moved with compassion toward them. And as a great shepherd of the sheep, He went in their midst, up and down, passing from one person to the next, leaving no life untouched by the loving hand of His power, and did a miracle in the heart and the life of everyone. I'll tell you this morning, Jesus Christ doesn't want any one of us to leave this place this morning untouched. Not one. From the youngest to the oldest. He wants you to know the touch of His hand this morning. The transforming power of who He is. To change your life like it's never been changed. And to do what only He can do. And that only leaves one question. Will you come to Him? The people came. And He healed them with the touch of His hand. Will you come to Jesus this morning? Will you allow Him to touch your life? Change it like never before. Because He loves you. He wants to. He's able to. And He will if you come to Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for Thy word. Lord, I pray that we would come to Jesus this morning. Oh, for the touch of the Master's hand. That we would come to our Savior, Jesus Christ. That we would come to the Shepherd who cares for the sheep more than anybody else. That our lives would be touched by the hand of Jesus Christ this morning. For Thy glory, in Jesus' precious name, amen.